This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh. And on the line, we have Cheryl Pola, Deputy Head of Equity, Afin Huang, Asset Management.
Good morning, Cheryl. What's your take on the recent second quarter corporate earnings? From what we gather, it has been generally disappointing.
Yes, good morning, Joyce. Our sense is when we look at the results, there is a real disconnect between the strong GDP number of 5.8% and what we are seeing in listed companies' results. The macro growth does not seem to be filtering down to the micro level. In fact, more companies reported earnings that were below expectations in the second quarter compared to the first quarter. So what we saw is that the year-on-year growth of 2% in second quarter was more subdued compared to the 10% year-on-year growth that we saw in the first quarter.
Right. So in your opinion, which sectors overperform and underperform? Any surprises or hidden gems that emerge from the recent results?
Okay, if we look down on a sectoral basis, the outperformers were really the tech companies and the banks. So the local tech companies' earnings are up close to 40% year-on-year, riding the upswing in global tech demand ahead of the launch of iPhone 8. Now, this is supposed to be an iPhone super cycle with spectacular upgrades. The tech companies' results are also in line with the year-to-date export growth that we see for the country at about 22%. The other sector which did well were the banks, and bank earnings grew for the first time in 3 years, with profits up by about 15% year-on-year. Now, this was driven by two reasons. Firstly, higher net interest margins as funding costs declined, and secondly, lower loan loss provisions as 2016 was a very bad year. But one point of concern that we want to highlight is that loans growth has been soft this year. Now, even Bellwether Bank, Public Bank, has revised down their loan guidance to 4 to 5% from 6 to 7%. And industry loan growth is only running at an annualized 3.6%. So banks were able to grow their earnings despite subdued loan growth. Now, moving on to the companies which did not do well, oil and gas and media companies continued to perform poorly, with earnings down more than 80% year-on-year. Now, what surprises were consumer companies also faltered, with earnings declining by about 15%. Now, when you look at the commentary on prospects given by management in their results announcement, the most commonly used adjective was challenging. Now, this seems to be at odds with the data seen in the recent GDP number, where private consumption expenditure picked up to 7.1% growth in second quarter, accelerating from 6.6% in first quarter. Of course, not all consumer companies are weak. I mean, companies like Padini continue to do well. But the recent results season indicates that the pickup is selective rather than broad-based. And it is also possible that the spending is flowing to areas which are not captured by listed companies, such as e-commerce. I guess the good news is that the recovery that we do see seems to not be driven by credit, with household debt to GDP still coming off.
Right, so what catalyst do you see for the rest of the year? Perhaps the ringgit?
Okay, I guess we see two main catalysts. Okay, the first catalyst would be actually earnings, right? I'll talk about the ringgit in a little while. Now, for earnings, for the market to continue to be moved, we need to see a greater convergence between the macro and the micro. This means we must start to see the earnings of listed companies improving further. We see the wages for manufacturing workers actually rising by 10% for three consecutive months, and we hope that this will start to spill over to other sectors, which means that consumption can start to improve. So the first catalyst for the market would be an improvement in earnings. But in the immediate term, I think the biggest catalyst that we would see is the stronger ringgit. As you can see, the dollar is down actually 10% on a year-to-date basis, but the ringgit strength has not matched this. So we are seeing some catch-up now, and I think, you know, some analysts are talking about 410. Macro numbers have been strong. If you look at the industrial production number that was just released yesterday, the 6% pickup is even stronger than the second quarter number of 4.3%, and the pickup is very broad-based. If it continues, it suggests that third quarter GDP could be even stronger than 5.8%. The other thing is that Malaysia's foreign reserves have finally hit the US dollar 100 billion mark again, even with the US swap positions remaining stable. So this implies that we are actually getting a lot more proceeds from the export reconversions. If you remember last December, one of the measures Bank Negara took to stabilize the ringgit was to ask exporters to convert 75% of their export proceeds into ringgit. So this is actually starting to flow into the country and build up our foreign reserves.
Right. Thank you, Cheryl. That was Cheryl Pola, Deputy Head of Equity at Afin Huang Asset Management.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.